There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. Today's date is the 6th of May, 2014, and it is just about 1 minute and 29 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. All right, well, hope you're enjoying spring. Summer is just around the corner. Tonight, we're going to talk about the reality of Christ and the distortion of the flesh in the world as it pertains to communication, understanding, the selection and exchange of information. In other words, we're going to really talk about untruths, lies, BS, falsehoods, fables. There are countless, literally countless ways to misrepresent the truth. But yet, in this countless ways of misrepresenting the truth, there is one constant. There's one common denominator in every type of misleading statement, misleading lie, whatever kind of creative BS story there is, whatever concoction comes up with, they all have one cornerstone that is consistent. And that cornerstone is a combination of self-preservation, a way of not being accountable, not being responsible, prolonging the inevitable. In other words, it has some positive attribute or benefit to the person whose mouth is moving and is spewing anything and everything but the truth. Lies to yourself, lies to your loved ones, lies to your friends, lies to total strangers abound in all of our lives on a daily basis. And it is at such a critical point on a global level that it's okay to do it. It's socially acceptable not to be responsible, not to be accountable, not to stand up and just take the brunt of our bad choices or actions. Interestingly enough, you would think in a court system with a judge and a jury and attorneys, where you would think it's all about facts, it's all about the truth and hardcore evidence. But it isn't. You talk to any attorney who's successful on any basis as a career, the first thing they'll tell you that being a successful attorney and winning cases, whether they're civil or criminal, is about the argument. It really doesn't have much to do with the facts or the evidence. It's about opposing counsels, about two people imposing their will and spinning and fabricating the information in such a successful way that it is considered to be the truth. But yet, it's admittedly a manipulation of the facts. It is this manipulation of the facts. It is this concoction, these lies that are piled on top of each other, that gives organized religion such dysfunction and misinformation so that the average person has no idea what the truth of Christ is. Jim?
Yeah, I was going to just pose a question to the people that are listening tonight. I'm glad that you're joining us. With that introduction, how many of you think that this is a good topic? How many of you can see already that this is something that really needs to be investigated? We really need to take some time with this and just begin to dive into it and see if possibly, without even knowing it, really with no bad intention on our part, we're possibly, well, going hand in foot with lies, distortion, manipulation of truth, possibly constantly, without even really knowing that it exists. This is going to be a real good night for all of us. I know one statement I'll give you right now, and then, of course, I'll give it to you later in chapter and verse. But Jesus said when he sent the Holy Spirit to us, he was going to send the Spirit of truth to lead us and guide us into all truth. So just hearing that and then knowing that what we heard in the opening, can you see now the great contradiction of how the world and then the flesh that follows the world is really no good really in it, and how easy it would be being a part of this world, letting your flesh get out of hand, how easy it would be to miss God, not experience him, and especially if you're in some type of religious building where people are pontificating, they're speaking and they're spinning certain things, most probably because they're not experiencing God either. And it's easier to spin something than it is to say, I'm just not where I ought to be. Well, folks, get ready for this. It's going to be a great night. And I believe we're going to say a whole lot more here, BJ, that's going to really help folks kind of get down right to bare facts. Plus, from what you said earlier, it seems like we've got a bunch of emails too, don't we?
We do. If you want to email the show tonight, it's real easy to do, and we encourage you to participate in the show. The way you email the show is, it's the name of the radio show. Couldn't be any simpler. There's no spaces or capital letters. It's just all one word, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter Gmail, .com. That's The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. Also, if you'd like to send a high-speed internet text, we love text messages. They're free. And the way you send your text message is the first word that you have to type. The first word that you type in your text message to the barn is the word grace. After you spell grace, you can type the rest of your message. And then you send it to this five-digit high-speed number. There's no one. There's no area code. It's just 69302. And also, if you go to the radio show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com, on the contact page, that's a way you can, shows you how to email the show and how to send text to the show. We've got an email tonight that says, good topic, and it says, I've had to debate a loved one this week because of lies they believe despite what Scripture plainly says. That was a text we got. We've got one email here that came in a day ago. It says, hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. If you're a new listener, Ranger, well, that's my dog. She's laying next to Jim and I here in the barn as we do the show. Hi also to all the listeners in Ontario. Last week I said hi to Jim and Judy in London, Ontario. I should have said Jerry and Judy. My apologies for messing up Jerry's name. I was just reading 1 Corinthians 13:1, 13. I was thinking that in it, Paul is speaking about the kind of relationship we can enjoy right now with the guys. And that is especially described in verses 11 and 12. Would that be an accurate assessment and goal? Well, Jim?
I have to go to.
And then it says, I so enjoy the radio show and look forward to it each week. The only week I wasn't able to listen live to was the recent one that didn't record. I'm also enjoying the Wednesday night live feed. Last Wednesday night, I was driving home to Pickering from London and listened to the show as I drove. It is so great to have you as resources, even though each of you and each of the listeners is far from me geographically. The show brings us together. Well, that's very true. The show does bring us all together, and I'm grateful for it. Did you find that?
Yeah, it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what we're endeavoring to help people. As you can see, that verse is all about progress and growth, and we're trying to help folks go from a place of just the start that they have with God over into the experience with God, right where they should be. Do you think that pretty well fits what they were asking?
I do. We got another email that came in a day ago. It says, I like this one. It says, this is from somebody named Debbie in Illinois. It says, I just started listening to your broadcast after hearing about it from one of Jim's messages on YouTube. Do you have stuff on YouTube?
Well, I don't put stuff on YouTube, but when I go to churches, people post stuff on YouTube. So, yeah, there is.
It says, I hope they're complimentary and not, you know, hey, look at this guy.
Yeah, I do too.
It says, I had no idea what I was missing. Enjoy it very much. Also learning a lot. I truly believe it to be an answer from God. Didn't realize you could laugh so much while learning such valuable lessons. I would like to ask why you always tell everyone to take care at the end of the broadcast. I found this to be such a surprise after your sharing of grace and how you like to be sometimes almost arrogant with it. I heard Kenneth Copeland sharing that anyone close to him knew never to say to him, take care. Also, Andrew Womack sharing that anytime someone said that to him, he finished it with, take care for nothing. This has made me very aware of saying this or anyone saying it to me. I would like to share these scriptures, Matthew 12:22, Peter 5:7, in Christ's love, I like Swan's ice cream too, not Swanson's. I don't know who Kenneth Copeland and Andrew Womack are. Who are those guys? Never heard of them.
Well, they're ministers that are on TV and on the radio.
They are?
Yeah.
Are they making lots of money?
Well, probably so.
Yeah, okay. Well, I have no use for them. And as far as take care, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Well, again, my opinion about some of these things, people that want to get so picky like that, that is almost, in a sense, a little bit of our topic tonight, where we spin something to make somebody have to watch every little word that they say, but yet it's about the intent of your heart. What's really coming out of your heart? And take care of your pets, take care, have a good night. That's not being said with the intent of saying, be loaded down with cares and concerns and just literally be swimming in drama. That statement is a statement that just basically says, be good.
What I do is I say, take care of yourself and take care of your pets.
Right.
So I guess what we should say is be mean to yourself and be mean to your pets. Or don't care about yourself, don't care about your pets. I think if this is the biggest concern in somebody's life, that it is of importance to them that they're missing the boat.
Right. That the whole point is being missed. Exactly.
Yeah. They're just so far off base they don't know there is a base.
Right.
But I'm glad we have a new listener, and I'm glad they like ice cream. But if they're listening to those other two people, well, I don't know. I think they might as well just, I think they'd be better off listening to the Rolling Stones, Def Leppard, YouTube, Blondie, you know, dance.
I don't know too many of those people, but I will say, to back up what was just said, that this type of nitpickiness in the midst of people not getting prayers answered is really just running amok something for the sake of it sounding good, when the essence of it all is, what kind of actions are you involved with grace, God's power, God's goodness, and how's it working for you? Because if it is, great. If it's not, and you're going to be concerned about a sentence like take care or a statement like that, then like we said, we're really missing the point there.
We got an email that came in 3 hours ago. We're catching up. It says, you may read this on the show if you wish, but if you choose not to, I would still hope to receive an answer to my question. Hi, Ranger, Jim, and BJ. Hello to other listeners. I have been listening to the show for a long time, and I have learned so much and began to grow. I have one request. If you were going to write down the information shared on the show into a book, what would the chapters be? I realize that there already is a book with this information, which is the Bible, but what I'm asking is to identify the major categories that all of this information would fall under. What would chapter 1 be on? Chapter 2, and so on. It says, I understand if this requires a bunch of thought and time. There is so much information, so much of it blends together. So
we've actually been over this throughout all the shows.
Do we ever really put a lot of thought and time into anything we say?
No, not really. but we've been...
Now, there's some truth, folks. Yeah. I mean, you talk about truth and facts. I mean, I'm sorry. It sounds very disrespectful, very cavalierish, but it is so... It's the God's honest truth, everybody. Yeah, there is virtually no time and no thought put into this radio show because all we are running on is grace.
Yeah.
It's up to grace. Yeah. Quite frankly, it's grace's responsibility. It's grace's job. It's grace's duty. I am what I consider a Christian couch potato. Grace's job to do everything. I'm thankful for it. I worship Christ to it. But you know what? It's grace's job. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because during the first few shows, you know, I would sweat over all of it and come here with all kinds of notes. And now pretty much I come here and I say, okay, I got a thought. Let's talk about this. And we talk about it for a while until we need to go outside and Ranger usually goes outside.
Yeah, drains her tanks.
We go out and we talk a little more and come back in and eat some potato chips and get ready for the show.
But really, on a serious note, almost every Tuesday night, as the opening music is playing, I look at you and say, what did you want to talk about tonight?
Right.
And you just blurt out a couple of words or a sentence. And then we take it from there. I mean, this is so, like, unrehearsed, unscheduled, unlearned.
Right.
I mean, I'm more concerned about making sure that the snacks we have a high percentage of real sugar,
I was gonna say
real sugar. Butter, real chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like artificial sweeteners.
To answer this question, I really think we've been over it quite a bit in our shows. So if you've listened to some of the shows, I think you'll recognize what I'm getting ready to say. If you were wanting some chapters, I've done this when I'm out on the road, but it's all a result of the time BJ and I have talked about these things. But you could say chapter 1 would be the book of Genesis. Chapter 2 would be, there's nothing good of the world. Chapter 3 would be, all sins are forgiven. Chapter 4 would be, all prayers are answered. And chapter 5 pretty much would be the book of Revelations.
Really? That would be your book?
Well, I'm just saying those would definitely be chapters or subtitles, at least, of a book, because it really has the essence of what we're all talking about. We could say many more things, but those are some of the pillars that we've actually pulled out of the last couple of years of things that are important for people to know. Now, within each one of that I said, you could go many different ways, but
I would have, let's see, I would put, the first chapter would be Revelations. The second chapter would be Genesis. And the third chapter would be one page. And on that page, it would say, all your sins are forgiven. There's nothing good of the world, nothing good of the flesh. Ask and you shall receive. And that'd pretty much be it. Maybe a photograph of, like a mountain meadow with a stream and some horses grazing or something on the cover.
Uh-huh.
That'd be my book. That'd be it. I think that there's a lot of repetitiveness in the Bible. There's a lot of redundancy. And the reason it's there by design, the reason that the Bible has so much redundancy is that it's trying to communicate to anyone on any level and give them the same message.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
There are, and I'll give you an example, there are so many things that have different, that mean the same thing, but they're said differently depending on where you live and who you are. And the Bible is for every human being, no matter where they are or what choices they've made that put them in a particular spot,
mm-hmm.
and what reality they've created or chose to manufacture.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. When you look at the Bible, it's as simple as a child understanding it. And yet there's depth to it that goes beyond the greatest minds.
Well,
so it really does reach every human being at any level with a message of understanding God.
If you look at John, Luke, Mark, and Matthew.
You did. That's the first right there.
Well, I didn't do it. I asked the guys for help.
Yeah, that's the first.
Yeah, I said, I need some help here. Okay, if you look at those four books, it's literally four guys that did everything together, and they wrote it down from their own perspective.
Right.
It's literally like putting Jesus in the middle of a large intersection, and you've got John on one corner, Mark on another, Luke on another, Matthew on another. So you've got these four guys that are seeing different perspectives of the same man.
Right.
And you hand them a piece of paper and a crayon, and you say, okay, write down everything that happens. That's really the only difference between those four writings. Is they're that close.
Right, right.
But yet, the reason for them is to show that the relationship between a person and the guys is individual.
Mm-hmm.
It will have a lot of similarities. It will have the same benefits. But yet at the same time, there's going to be some very small nuances, and there's going to be some feelings, and there's going to be some communication that is private and only yours from your perspective.
Right.
Now, this is completely discombobulated by lies, because if you can't be truthful to yourself, if you can't be accountable to yourself, you will never be honest. You will never be accountable to Christ. Because you have to be humble and trustworthy in your own heart to yourself.
That's right.
Before you could ever be humble and trustworthy to God.
Yeah, I think a few shows back we were talking about authority, and where everybody really wants to use authority to cast the devil out or this, that, and the other. Our actual way of talking about authority, I think, was very accurate and very interesting. We talked about authority, and that is the Spirit taking authority or the demand or command of the Spirit over a person's life. In other words, just what BJ said, living a truthful, precise, and accurate way of life to yourself will help you to be able to live a very accurate and precise way of living to God. And that goes back to our statement that I think I probably make this statement every place I go, that how you do life is how you'll do faith. And if faith isn't working, it goes back to how you do life.
We're going to give some examples of some lies here. I'm going to read some, and Jim's going to read some. First, we've got to clear the decks of emails. The next email we have came in 13. Hey, my lucky number, 13.
Uh-huh.
13 minutes ago. It says, Jim and BJ, for the last 9 months or so, I've been listening to your show, learning so much about the grace life. When something is particular ministered to me, I excitedly shared it with my husband and children. Recently, we all went to hear Jim speak in New York. All of us were blessed. My husband was very appreciative of the question and answer evening we had and how apparent your integrity is, and your openness and honesty in addressing some of the areas that just aren't clear or make sense to people. What a thrill that we now all look forward to the radio show. And this is Keisha, Brian, right. Esther, and Samuel.
Samuel. Yep.
You know them. You met them.
I did. Nice people.
And let's see. We got one here. It says, Dear Ranger, BJ, and Jim, we really enjoyed last week's show. Looking forward to tonight's broadcast and the truth of the uncompromised word coming forth. Grace, grace, grace. Oh, this is from the Daytons in Washington, Indiana. And then we got one here that says, the reason I asked about chapters is I want to write some songs that convey the things talked about on the show. But it helps to focus a song on a main topic and then explain it with the information that you've shared.
Hmm. Okay.
Wow, they want to write a song. I would look forward to hearing a song about candy and chips and cookies. the finest of home baked goods.
Right.
I mean, I could easily...
Saltwater taffy.
I could easily stomp out a dance to a song about high-quality snacks.
Huh.
I mean, I'll have lived a good life if, when I die, I have a hot fudge sundae on my breath. My last breath is chocolate. Huh. That's the way I want to go.
That's very well thought out.
Well... I think, I want it to be on the first of the month when all the bills are due.
Right. That's even more thought out.
Yeah. I want all my bills to be due. I want to die with a hot fudge sundae to go, hello, Mr. Rickard, if you don't pay us in 14 days, we're going to turn your TV off. And then I want somebody to say, well, that guy's dead. He's deader than a can of corned beef. He's gone. So's his dog. So are the horses. Well, who's going to pay the TV bill?
Oh, gee. You put some time into that.
No, just right off the top. Hey, we got a text here that said, great answers, Jim and BJ. And I believe this text is saying great answers to...
the emails.
Yeah, to the emails, but I think it was probably about one specific, and I just didn't happen to see that we had a text and an email. Okay, are you on that page that I told you on your machine?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Which one do you want to read?
Exaggeration.
Which one?
Exaggeration.
Really? That's the one you want to read?
Yeah.
Okay. What we're going to do here is we're giving you some different types of lies. When people say, well, it's an exaggeration. What we're going to do now is we're going to read you some different types of titled lies. I mean, they're all lies, and they're all distortions of the truth, and they're all hurtful, and they serve no good to anyone. But it's the mentality that these are incorporated into our society as a whole that makes it okay and acceptable, and right. Why people don't understand why they're not having grace in their life, why they worship, why they tithe, why they try to be the best person they can, but yet they don't understand that these small little technical things like lies are a doorstop to having grace in your life. Okay, so you're gonna read exaggeration.
Yes, it says an exaggeration or hyperbole occurs when the most fundamental aspects of a statement are true, but only to a certain degree. It is also seen as stretching the truth or making something appear more powerful, meaningful, or real than it actually is. Saying that a person ate 20 spring rolls at a party when they actually ate 7 or 8 would be considered an exaggeration.
Okay. I'm going to go with, let's see. I you know what I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with this one because I think this one is the next one. I'm going to go pick out another one, but I'm going to go with this one, and then I'm going to tell you why I'm going with this one, because I literally see and hear this every time I go to town. This is why I like to stay by myself on the ranch, so that I don't have to deal and witness such melancholy actions. Okay, this one is called the polite lie. A polite lie is a lie that a politeness standard requires, and which is usually known to be untrue by both parties. Whether such lies are acceptable is heavily dependent on culture. A common polite lie in international etiquette is to decline invitations because of scheduling difficulties. Now, think of this. Think about your relationship with Christ and Jesus, the Holy Spirit and grace, all four of the guys. Think about your relationship with them. And think about how you're constantly grinding your teeth and you're sitting at red lights and you're trying to figure out what the stumbling blocks are. What are those little tiny quote-unquote bad choices, sins, problems that are preventing you from having a cheese sandwich with the guys every day? What is keeping grace on the doorstep of your reality? It's these little polite lies. And look what they are. They're convenient. They're accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, as a child, you see parents and teachers and adults do it, and it seems okay. Plus, there's no responsibility. There's never any accountability because everybody does it. Okay, what's the one you picked out?
Contextual lie. It says...
Oh, you're making this one up.
Nope, it says contextual lie. One can state part of the truth out of context, knowing that without complete information, it gives a false impression. Likewise, one can actually state accurate facts, yet deceive them, all right, or deceive with them. All right, this is good. To say, yeah, that's right, I ate all the white chocolate by myself. Using sarcasm, a form of assertion by ridiculing the fact, implying the liar believes it to be preposterous. It's very interesting. In other words, manipulating a statement that's actually true to make someone feel guilty as though you shouldn't believe it, and yet it's actually so. Very, very interesting. I find that this subject is very interesting, especially in the day that we're living, where you can see how many politicians, for instance, are continually lying to people all the time, and the news media wants to back up the ones that they like and say, well, that's okay.
Yeah. All right, the next one, while you're choosing another one, I got one. Okay, now, I didn't know that this was the name of this type of lie, everybody. Okay, but this is really the name of it. But this is one reason why I have an 18-year-old cellular phone and why I don't text, I don't answer text, I don't just subscribe to this. I like face-to-face communication, and this is why. I'm going to talk about the butler lie. That's right, a butler lie. A term coined by researchers at Cornell University's social media laboratory that describes small innate lies, which are usually sent, here it comes, electronically, and are used to terminate conversations or to save face. For example, sending a text message or email to someone who reads it and says, "I have to go, the waiter is here," when you are not at a restaurant, is an example of a butler lie. Or you're texting someone and you say, "Oh, I gotta go, my boss is here. Oh, I have to go, the phone's ringing. Oh, well, I'll email you later, someone's at the front door. Oh, I gotta go, there's a green light." All these little tiny fibs, these little tiny falsehoods. But here's what happens. Remember in past shows recently, we talked about habits, how you have flesh habits, right. You have worldly habits,
right.
And then there's grace.
Habits.
There's habits. Well, look what these do. You do them to your family. You do them to your kids, to your parents, to your friends. Oh, I got to go. It's my turn at the teller. And you're still two cars away. You just want to answer the phone, text somebody else, or just listen to music. But it's this habit of skirting responsibility and accountability and not telling someone the exact truth. And what's ironic about this is that when anyone ever finds out they were deceived, that they were lied to, that they were manipulated, one of the first things they always say is, "I wish you just would have told me the truth."
Right.
I wish you would have been up front with me. I wish you would just have spilled your guts and told me exactly what happened. You know, there's an old saying, the truth cuts once, and it's a clean cut, and it heals fast, where a lie makes a jagged cut, and it never really heals, and it scars. All right, what's your next one?
It is lying by omission. It says, also known as continuing misrepresentation. A lie by omission occurs when an important fact is left out in order to foster a misconception. Lying by omission includes failures to correct pre-existing misconceptions. When the seller of a car declares it has been serviced regularly, but does not tell that the fault or that a fault was reported in the last service, the seller lies by omission. I wonder if it's, in fact, I don't wonder, I know it to be so, that all these inaccuracies really are what actually play over into our ability to get a prayer answered.
Yeah.
Our ability to have a true conviction.
Right.
What do you have?
All right, my next one. Well, let's do a little housekeeping here first. Okay, number one, if you want to text the show tonight, make comments or questions, the first word that you type in your text is the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. Grace is the first word you type, and then you send it to 69302. If you'd like to send an email, send your emails to the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence at the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. Okay, my next one that I think I'm going to go with is minimization. Minimization, a minimization lie, okay? A minimization is the opposite of exaggerating. It is the type of deception involving denial coupled with rationalization in situations where complete denial is implausible. These are lies that are very common. Here's an example of the type of lies that people get caught up in that turn to habits and keep grace away. Okay. I'm going to make this up. You're in a parking lot and you've got a shopping cart and you're putting your groceries in the shopping cart and your cart keeps trying to roll away. And so you can't hold on to the cart, take the bags out of the cart and put the bags in your car. So you gently rest the shopping cart against the car that's parked next to you because it's convenient. And you do it so gentle as to not make a scratch or a mark on some poor stranger's victimized car. Well, the person comes out and they see the cart against their car. And you look at them and you say, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that my cart had touched your car.
Right.
I'm very sorry. It's an accident. I didn't realize that. That is a minimization lie.
Hmm.
It's a way of making yourself a victim like the person, their car. They're a victim. Your cart is against their car. And you're now putting your place with them to make it look like nobody's accountable for this cart. That this cart has been possessed by Satan and this cart just wheels itself around the parking lot, damaging every single victimized car it can find. That's what a minimization lie is. Is that it's impossible to say, well, somebody else put the cart here.
Right.
Well, they're not going to believe that because you've still got groceries in the cart. Or you can't say, well, my friend did it because there's nobody around but you. So what you do is you skirt the truth, you skirt the facts so that you ease the amount of punishment. You ease the embarrassment that possibly they might buy into this and say, oh, I know, those carts do that all the time. And it lets you off the hook. Well, once again, you have lied. It's not a fib. You have lied. If you're in the process of lying on a daily basis, how in the name of good gravy do you ever expect to have a healing or grace? When you're in the process of keep continually putting negative energy into your own life.
Yeah, because at that point, you're not even being honest with yourself.
No.
So it'd be very difficult to be honest with
God. And it's very easy. I mean, that's as addictive as drugs, as alcohol, as gambling, as anything.
Yeah.
That's as addictive because you're lowering everything.
And think about it. It's almost more addictive only because the world has so accepted it to be. Like what I'm going to mention right here is another one that's kind of a little bit like yours, but it's called the white lie, which right away, just from the very essence of it, it says, well, it's a lie, but it's not a bad one because it's just a white lie. Okay, so here's what it says. White lies are minor lies which could be considered to be harmless or even beneficial in the long term. White lies are also considered to be used for the greater good. A common version of a white lie is to tell only part of the truth, therefore not being suspected of lying, yet also conceal something else to avoid awkward questions. White lies are also often used to shield someone from a hurtful or emotional damaging truth, especially when not knowing the truth is completely harmless. Interesting, isn't it? It's taking advantage of someone or a situation to not have to actually be truthful, and so therefore it's a white lie. All of this comes right back to lack of truthfulness.
They're lies.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
They're all lies, they're all wrong, and they all hurt just as much.
Right.
And they all prevent grace. Okay, the last. I think this makes us equal now, because what we've done, three each or four each? I don't know. I wasn't counting. But I think people get the point.
Yeah, sure.
All right, this one, I was hoping you wouldn't read this one.
The haystack?
No. But well, I know there is one, a haystack. I didn't read the haystack one.
Yeah, it's good.
I'll have to read it just on my own. But no, this one is why, as a and talk about honesty, being truthful. This is one reason why I never wanted children. And one reason why, by the time I was 8 years old, I could not stand most adults. Seriously. I mean, I should probably be seeing a whole team of doctors and heavily medicated, you know, sticking my tongue in a wall outlet three times a day for a little electroshock therapy. This one is called Lie to Children.
Okay.
Okay, it says, a lie to children is a lie, often a platitude which may use euphemisms, which is told to make an adult subject acceptable to children. Common examples include the stork brought you, in reference to childbirth, and the existence of Santa Claus, the tooth fairy, the Easter bunny. The common, small, insignificant lie that a child knows is false, yet an adult supports and continues to use.
Boy, that's good.
I see, you know, I work with a lot of kids. And the thing, I want you to read the haystack one, so find the haystack one and get ready to read it. I work with a lot of kids and their horses. And the first thing that I do is I tell them, and this is literally what I say. I say, okay, I know this is your child. I know you don't know me, but I have three rules. Number one, you have to keep your mouth closed. You can't make comments. If your kid falls off a horse, keep your mouth closed. If they do something good, keep your mouth closed. If they do something bad, keep their mouth closed. You're not allowed to talk to me or your child while I'm working with your child and their horse. And then the second thing I say is, if you say one thing to your child that is BS, no matter how insignificant it is, we're done, and I won't be back. And they go, oh, okay. And I see this all the time. A child will be doing something wrong that is going to give them a bad riding habit with the horse.
Right.
And it may potentially, mathematically, hurt them the longer they do this bad habit. And the parent knows that the child doesn't look good in the saddle, that it doesn't seem right. And they say, oh, you're doing really good, honey. You're doing really good. Keep it up. They think they're being encouraging, but it's a lie. And sooner or later, the kid figures out they're doing it wrong. And then all of a sudden, as a child, they have two thoughts and two thoughts only. Mm-hmm. They either think that whoever told them that is an idiot and doesn't know what they're talking about, or that they lied to them. And as a child, you can't understand the scope and the depth of a situation because you just don't have the life experience.
Right.
You don't have the education.
Right.
Your brain is just as immature as your body is. But yet at the same time, you eventually find out all of the stuff that people have served up to you as being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, you literally only have two choices. You either have to accept the fact that the parents that you love and admire that are feeding and clothing you are bad because they lie to you. Or the only other choice is you have to consider that they're idiots. And either one of those is a bad thing for a kid to...
Sure.
And I talk to kids. I'll look at them and I'll say, well, what do you think? Is your mom lying or is your mom just stupid? And 9 times out of 10, they pick stupid. Because when they say lying, this is what they do. They put their head down and they kind of look at me out of the corner of their eye and they say, well, my dad lies to me a lot. And he also lies to mommy. They don't take that route. So it's easier for them just to say, well, they're stupid. Mm-hmm. All adults are stupid. They don't understand. That's a real biggie with me.
Right, right.
I mean, I talked to a kid the other day, and he says, well, what do you think? And I says, this isn't a good horse for you. This horse is smarter than you are. I said, that's dangerous. Well, you don't think I should have this horse? No. Not for another year. You need another horse. And a year from now, this would be a good horse for you. Not now. Well, so you're saying I'm not a good enough rider? No, you're not a good enough rider. Let's find a horse that is enjoyable, that you can enjoy, that isn't a big pain in the back pockets for you to ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And you know what? The little kid said, okay, yeah, I want to have fun. And I says, well, me too. I says, I'm getting tired of yelling at you. I says, let's find another horse for you. I said, your parents can afford it. We'll get you another horse.
Sure. Sure.
And so, yeah. I mean, make no mistake. Kids know that a parent is cheating, a parent's lying. Make no mistake that kids know when their parents are having arguments and they're going to get a divorce or that something's wrong. They know the topic. They just may not know the whole story, but they know the broad stroke.
Yeah, well, the important part, I think that's being said, a lot of things are important that's being said in that, but I take out one of these, and that is, if that becomes for them their reality of what they've known, and they're trusting their parents, and yet they're experiencing that kind of deception, then they're going to grow up with the same thing, and it's just going to be very natural to them. So here we have the haystack.
Yeah, I want to hear this one.
Says the haystack answer. A haystack answer or statement is a volume of false or irrelevant information possibly containing a true fact, the needle in the haystack. Even if the truth is included, it's difficult or impossible to detect and identify.
Man, I like that.
That's good.
You know why? Because that describes religious organizations and buildings to a T.
Sure.
God is good. God is great. We are all loved. But yet, at the same time, we have, that's where they stop.
Right.
So they supply you with a haystack of information, but there's only a fraction of truth in it. And they'll pick apart scripture in the book and apply it to their point of view, which even confuses people more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been done for centuries, hasn't it?
And yeah, it makes me just want to go around to a bunch of places this Sunday, and as soon as they start their sermon, just scream from the back, haystack, haystack. But, you know, then they just think I was, you know, some weird countryman that,
They wouldn't understand it, would they?
No, they'd say, that boy's crazy. He thinks everybody in here is a bale of hay. Well, let's pray for him. He needs help. He's just one sandwich short of a picnic, that poor old boy in the back with that long hair and that brown dog. Poor little fella back there. Let's pray for him.
Well, look at what Proverbs 6 says in verse 16. It says, here are six things God hates, and one more that he loathes with a passion. Eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies, hands that murder the innocent, a heart that hatches evil plots, feet that race down a wicked track, a mouth that lies under oath, a troublemaker in the family. Notice the second thing there was what? A tongue that lies.
Yeah. And then what's the other one that about the oath? One of the last ones. What was that? It said about an oath?
It said a mouth that lies under oath.
Yeah. I find that in my own life, and as old as I am, that about every 3 years, I think, and I started noticing it when I was about 12 years old. About every 3 years, it seems that civilization as a whole around the globe takes a step off the line of accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
That
well, you were sharing some history before we did the show.
Yeah, I mean that there's just less and less real accurate information.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, I'm not talking about governments and corporations. I'm talking about people's ability to communicate with each other.
Yeah, yeah, it's very good.
There's less, and unfortunately, it really goes to Scripture where there's nothing good of the world, and there's nothing good of the flesh, because television, radio, text messaging, emails, cell phones, Twitter, all this does is takes away that you look in my eye and tell me the truth accountability. There, it's real easy when someone cuts you off in traffic and it's a total stranger. It's real easy to give them the international one finger hello. It's real easy to do that. But if someone cuts you off in traffic and you're really upset, and all of a sudden you get up to them and you find out it's somebody that you know, all of a sudden your entire mood changes.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that person to know that you're upset. You don't want to come off as a nut job. And all you do is shake your head and say, what were you thinking? Or, boy, that was really stupid.
Right.
I'm glad
right.
I'm in my own car.
Sure.
And or you make a joke about it. But yet, just seconds ago, since it was a total stranger, there was no accountability, and you weren't recognized, and you weren't going to be held up and take note of your actions, you were ready to play NASCAR and bump them in the ditch.
Right, right.
This is the biggest lies that we tell are never to friends or family. They're to our own heart.
Mm-hmm.
We lie to ourselves. That we lie that we're healthy. We lie that we're happy. We lie that we're loved. We lie that we have a relationship with God. I mean, we fill ourselves full of lies so that when we look in a mirror, we don't vomit. We're not disgusted with ourselves. But what we don't realize is that God's love is ready to catch us and forgive us.
Yes.
Christ wants us to look in the mirror and be upset and disgusted and say, I don't like who I am. This isn't who I wanted to be. This isn't the person that I would ever want to be friends with. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be this anymore. And it's at that point of oneness and accountability that allows your heart to be humble enough for grace to come in and say,
yeah,
hey, don't worry about it. It's forgiven.
Sure.
All of it's forgiven. And since you've identified with it and you've humbled yourself and agreed with it, it's gone. Welcome home. It's about time you said hi.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't have that if you're in the process of burying yourselves in self-inflicted lies.
Right.
Even if they're for a positive purpose. You've gained 15 pounds. Instead of going out and buying a new pair of jeans, accept the fact that you ate yourself out of your jeans. And we keep doing this to ourselves.
Sure.
And other people see it as an example. This is the way it's done. Come on, let's go shopping. Why? Well, I need a bigger pair of jeans. You know what? Me too. This is testimony of a negative way. It could be turned positive. Find some scripture to back this up. You know, we're not getting any texts or emails. Nobody's listening.
Hmm. Maybe they're not.
They're all gone.
Well,
Proverbs. They found out that we're liars.
Yeah, right. Proverbs 12:19, it says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Listen to some of these as I read. It's just real good information. Proverbs 12:22, Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. All right? Proverbs 13:5. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. All right, the next one is Proverbs 17:7. Excellent speech becomes not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. That's good. Let's go to one more here. A lying tongue hates those who are affected by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. You know, every one of these statements shows, in my opinion, patterns and habits.
Right.
It's not just stating that someone lied. It's stating that someone's in the midst of perpetual lying. And there's habits and there's routines and there's patterns going on in a person's life, in so much that really and truly a person like this can't really tell who they are.
No.
They don't know how to even recognize themselves. And if they go too long this way, they're so deceived they can't see what is true and what's not true.
You know, a guy came to buy some hay today from me. And he's trying to make some extra money. And so I sold him some hay at a discount so that there was room for him to make some money at a fair price for the hay.
Sure.
And I said, well, look, you know, you sell this truckload of hay and you need to sell another truckload of hay. I'll sell you some more hay. What I did was is he's selling the hay at $6 a bale and I sold it to him for $4.
Okay.
And I normally sell hay at $6. So I took $2 off each bale so he could make some money.
Okay.
Okay. And so he took 50 bales, so he's going to make $100 off the hay. That's not bad profit.
No.
Now, he was talking to me how he had a bunch of different dramas going on in his life. And I said, well, why is this going on? And he says, well, I said this. And then he says, well, then I said this. And then this is how they reacted. And I says, well, is that really how you feel? Is that what you thought? And he says, well, no, but that's just what I told him. Well, his life has got a lot of drama and upheaval in it because of his lies.
No accuracy at all.
Because make no mistake, folks, we're all like those shiny little numbered balls on a billiard table, on a pool table. Mm-hmm. I mean, for every action, there's a reaction. And if you compile a pile of BS and stuff, eventually that pile of fertilizer is going to grow something that you don't want to have around.
Right, right.
And this is what's happening to this guy.
Yeah.
So, I was here alone today on the ranch and it was about ready for chore time. So after we got his truck loaded with the hay and all tied down, I said, well, come here. And we sat down on a couple of bales in the barn. Actually, on the other side of this wall is where this happened. You know,
mm-hmm.
You've loaded hay before.
Right.
And you will again tomorrow.
Yep.
Maybe. And, I said, okay, look. I says, what did you think was going to happen when you told somebody all this crap? What'd you think? What did you think? And he says, well, yeah. I says, you know what the bad part is? I says, if you try to fix this, you have to admit that you lied to him. And he goes, I know. And he says, well, I made it worse because I tried to tell another lie to cover this one up. And I looked at him and I says, do you know why I stay by myself? And he goes, to avoid things like this? And I go, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I says, yes. I don't want to deal with this kind of things. And then he says, well, let me tell you more. And I says, no. And he says, why? And I says, I don't want to hear this. I says, I don't even like to watch these kind of stories on television. I don't want them in my barn. And he just started laughing. And he says, well, that's not very nice. And I says, well, no, but it's true. Because I'm being honest. I says, I don't want to hear about your crap. I says, I don't. I'm done. I says, I was curious. And he goes, oh. And he says, well, that's kind of hurtful. And I says, well, what would be more hurtful? If I let you spill your guts for 20 minutes, and then 3 weeks from now, you find out that I never cared and I just wanted to listen because I was curious? He says, oh, that'd be bad. And I says, yeah. I says, by the time you hit my mailbox, you'll be over it and you could care less what I said. That's the difference between being honest and truthful.
Yeah, yeah. And it carries right over here in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. It carries right over into how we approach God. It says here, a time will come, however, indeed it is already here. This is Jesus talking, when true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And then in quotation, it says, reality. For the Father is seeking just such people as these as worshipers. God is spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, or reality. So notice what we're seeing here, and notice why maybe all these shows have been bathed in the whole idea of your identity, who you really are. You're not a flesh person attached to the world. You're a spirit person attached to God. Seeing yourself after your spirit, and then presenting your spirit to truth or reality, is exactly how you're going to experience God. In fact, really, we could get kind of nitpicky right here. In fact, if I turn BJ loose, he can really, really run the route here.
What do you mean? I never get to say anything. I never get a word in edgewise.
Well, I may give you a moment. And, you know, when you really think about what we call worship in the places where we go to worship, please don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that there's not sincerity in your praise to God, your words to God, the songs that are sung that have good words to them and good meaning, that you're endeavoring to sing them with meaning and with something good. But then compile that with, is your life full of spiritual decisions? And are you walking in any semblance or recognition, awareness of what's true and what's accurate? Because while standing for 15 minutes, lifting your hands and saying wonderful things is a wonderful thing, at the same time, it can be extremely contradictory to how a person actually sees life, especially when we're sharing some of these things tonight.
Okay, still no text messages. If you want to text, it's Grace. Okay, folks, come on. We've been talking now for over an hour and 9 minutes. It's time for you guys to send some texts, send some emails. Let us know how tonight's show is. Is it thought-provoking? Have you fallen asleep? Have you turned on TV and turned the volume down on your computers?
Let me ask this question to include this. Can you see how this topic relates to your prayers being answered and how well you can experience God?
Because it's going to be something. We've said this for, I don't know, it's over 2 years now, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The show's over 2 years old, and I don't think a week goes by that we don't say that whatever is keeping Grace from being with you 24/7 is going to be about the size of a frog's hair.
It has to be.
It's going to be something stupid. It's going to be small. It's going to be so insignificant. But unfortunately, it's going to be something that has been a part of your life for a long time.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
And is acceptable by everyone. Mm-hmm. All right, we got an email that came in 14 minutes ago. It says, hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. It's Wendell and Stacy Millett from Trinidad.
Good.
And Trinidad is by the Antarctic?
No, it's in the Caribbean.
Are you sure?
I am.
You're sure they're not like in mucklucks?
No, they're not.
Overcoats and
no,
igloos?
They're not freezing. It's warm and it's tropical.
I think Trinidad is by the Antarctic. I think they're down there throwing breadcrumbs to penguins.
Well, they may just have to correct you if they send another email.
It says, excellent teachings tonight. You guys are right on point again. Your teachings on the grace of God has brought a new sensitivity back into our hearts. We now start our days with a renewed awareness and desire to see that grace is available to affect everything we put our hands to.
Good.
We are now teaching our three boys to see that God's grace is also working in their lives, and we are blessed to experience a new atmosphere of peace in our home as God's grace is able to touch every area of our lives. We're amazed to see how grace has completely transformed the way we experience our day. It is so true what you guys are declaring, that God's grace is truly available for everyone in our hearts to trust God for. Say hi to all the listeners that are tuned in tonight for us. Kind regards, Wendell and Stacy.
Like
and then
that.
He goes on
That's
to say, nice. He says, right now it's 17 degrees below zero.
He did not.
Yeah, it said it's 17 degrees below zero, and their three boys they're homeschooled, that each morning before they homeschool, they have to shovel snow and break ice so they can use the snow machines during the day.
Well, that's very much not true. You know that.
Yes, it's a lie, but it makes my point.
Sure it does.
See, that's a lie of convenience.
Sure.
And to make me feel like I know what I'm talking about. This is a perfect example of what people do. They do this all the time. We got a text that says, tuning in, good topic, though it doesn't feel so great, but is good so that we can grow. That was a text we just got.
Yeah.
And we got two more emails that came. Oh, we got another one here. It says, BJ, we are listening. Don't want to miss anything. And this is from Devin in Atlanta, Georgia. They've sent emails. Okay, we got one here. It says, Dear Ranger, Jim, and BJ, thank you for the issues you are addressing in this show. When my son was younger, I would explain to him at Christmas time that he might not get the presents that he wanted, but he needed to think. Oh, he needed to thank the giver and not necessarily for the gift, but the thought behind the gift. I would then follow it with, don't tell them if you don't like the gift, just say thank you. At what point do we withhold information to keep from hurting others versus just blurting out everything that comes to our mind? Thank you. This is from Katina in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. What's your answer?
Well, again, you know, this goes back to, it really does, really and truly, first of all, you need to really trust that people, especially people that you know your heart, because it goes back to how accurate can we actually be so that our prayers will become answered. In other words, would you rather go ahead and oblige someone and be untruthful with them and have there be constant hindrances to your prayers being answered, or would you rather have your prayers be answered and just be downright truthful with folks? You know, we don't have to, when you're being truthful with somebody, you don't have to be mean.
Right.
You know, it's all, there is a delivery.
Right.
Of how you say what you say, and we're not talking about manipulating and twisting things, but we're just saying there is a delivery. You could even say to someone, you know, I'm just going to be truthful, but, you know, I so appreciate that you actually gave a gift, but this gift is not something that the boy likes.
Yeah. It's always been a hindrance to me in my life to cultivate friendships and relationships, whether personal or business. I remember as a it was my 8th birthday, and I was so proud because I was just starting to work with horses all by myself. And so, you know, I thought I was a man. Hmm. I mean, I was shoeing, and I was putting shoes on horses by myself. I was working horses. People were paying me money to work with horses. And, you know, I was 8 years old. I was driving, you know, tractors and pickup trucks. So, you know.
This is when you loved holidays because, well, everybody was inside. You were making money.
I always made money on holidays. That's right. Well, somebody gave me a bicycle for Christmas. And they said, look, we got you a bicycle. You've never had one. And I literally looked at him and I said, are you stupid? I literally said that to an adult. It was one of my uncles. And I said, are you stupid? I said, there's nothing but dirt and gravel roads and snow and ice right now. I says, how much did this bicycle cost? And I says, what does cost? Because back then, you know, a brand new bicycle was like $25, $30,
right,
which was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I says, you know, that $25 or $30, I says, I could have bought boots, chores gloves. I could have, you know, I says, I could have bought some tools. I could have bought some tack. And I says, where'd you get this from? So I can take it back to the store and buy something that's useful. I says, I can't ride this bike. And he says, well, you can ride it in the spring, in the summer. And I says, why give me something that I can't use for months? And then I just rolled my eyes and walked outside. When I walked outside, my uncle, he looked at his mom, which was my grandparents, and he said, what is wrong with him? And she says, well, he marches to his own drummer, but did he really say anything that wasn't true and accurate? And he just says, well, what kind of a kid would have those kind of thoughts? And the next day, I tied it to the back of a tractor. I drove to town to, it was a chain of hardware stores called Coast to Coast.
Okay.
There, you know, it's like Ace Hardware, but they were called Coast to Coast. I took it to the Coast to Coast hardware store. I walked out with a .22 rifle.
That you could use.
Yep. And that afternoon, I shot a skunk with it. And I thought, now here's a gift. Here's a tool. I've shot a skunk. It ain't going to stink up the barn. You know, now we're talking.
I killed a 4-foot bull snake today.
With a golf club?
With a golf club.
Well, that's still...
I wasn't golfing. I was at the house.
Well, there's no such thing as a good snake. You know, my theory on that.
It was at the house, so...
At your house?
Yeah.
You golf at your house?
No. I ran and got a club so I could hit it.
Surprised you didn't buy a wooden spoon or something. Oh. All right, we got another one here. It says, hey, Ranger, BJ, and Jim, really good show tonight. Some great points that I think everyone that is listening with ears open can really use as examples of self-check in our lives to identify areas that we need to tighten up to improve our relationship with God. This is from Ed, and it says, P.S., did my wife send you some of those examples? Oh, isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Hey, we have a text. Oh, we got some texts. It says, let's see. It says, hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Show just keeps getting better every week. This is the Matsons from Tampa,
okay,
Florida.
Sure.
And then it says, what? Clint, the barber from Kansas City, wants to give a special shout out to all the listeners in High Point, Florida.
Okay.
Do you know who Clint the Barber is?
Kansas City. I don't think I do.
I don't know. I haven't had a haircut in like 20-something years. And then we got another text here. It says, this is thought-provoking, promoting a diagnostic analysis of our lives. That is why we are all so quiet. Oh, see that ad? Okay. Got another email here that says, Dave and Barb, listening from Maple Grove, Minnesota, like what you're talking about tonight. Hello, G-Ma and G-Pa and Sue. Oh, what's for dinner, Sue? That's what Dave and Barb wanted to know. And then, because Sue is our official...
She's our cook.
Yeah, she's our official supper information line. There's a lady out in California. Her name is Sue. She's related to Dave and Barb and the outlaw biker grandma and grandpa.
That's right.
And Sue always tells us what she's having. Okay, it says, checking in from the farm in Statesville, North Carolina. Your show is a constant reminder to stay focused on what is reality. Thanks. Tad and Leah Beth.
Good. I like that. That's
they have
a
farm. I wonder what kind of farm.
I don't know. Maybe they can just give us
North
a little
Carolina.
More detail.
North Carolina. Cotton, tobacco. What else would there be? Cotton, tobacco, corn, soybeans.
Yeah. Hey, North Carolina can grow anything.
I wonder, well, what would they have for fruit? Peaches? Pears, maybe? Not apples. Maybe plums? I don't know. I wonder what kind of farm.
I don't know.
Kind of curious now. Ag people. Hello, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Thank you for tonight's subject. We are taking care of our two dogs and each other. Hello to family and other listeners. Oh no. I can't read this. Hold on. We got a technical issue here that needs addressing.
I know what you're doing, but go ahead.
Yeah, I gotta find it. Where is it? Why can't I find? You know, if I pre-read these, if I was a little more organized,
you'll find it.
Yeah, I've got it now. Okay, now I can read it. It says, "Hello, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Thank you for tonight's subject. We are taking care of our two dogs and each other. Hello to family and other listeners, Grandpa and Grandma."
Did we ever ask them what kind of bikes they have? Do they have Harleys?
I thought we had decided that they were going. You like the way I said that?
Yeah.
I thought we decided that they should have one of those Harley Davidson three wheelers with the, you know, okay, with the princess seat in the back for
right,
Grandma and Grandpa,
right,
with the matching helmets,
sure,
so they can talk to each other and listen to music.
Maybe we need to find out what they have, though. That'd be nice.
I don't know.
Because, you know, some of those Hondas, they don't sound like that at all. That's definitely Harley, isn't it?
I don't know. It's just a motorcycle
sound
effect.
Yeah, that sounds Harley to me.
The sound effect is courtesy of Dave and Barb in Minnesota. Oh, it says there are plenty of good apple orchards in North Carolina, especially in the mountains.
Hmm. Yeah, well, especially in the mountains. They also grow all those Christmas trees up there. That's a big business.
Yeah. You know, Christmas trees grow about a foot a year. So if you get a six or seven foot Christmas tree.
6 or 7 years old?
6 or 7 years old.
Wow, that's good to know.
I looked into it one time because I thought it would be kind of fun to grow Christmas trees. But then I realized that I would have to have a bunch of strangers come to the ranch
at
Christmas
right
time. So I didn't know. So this is what I did. I bought a bunch of baby Christmas trees.
Right.
And I planted them randomly around the ranch so that I could personally tend to them and watch them grow.
How'd that work?
It's working great.
Huh.
Today, somebody was on one of the horse trails, and he says, "I could have swore I saw a couple Christmas trees out there. Do you let people cut those down?" And I said, "There's no Christmas trees on this ranch." I lied! Yes, I lied to protect my trees, and I will continue to lie to protect my trees from these holiday hooligans that are out to...
I'm sure they were wanting to cut it down.
I like that. I just made that up. Holiday hooligans. We got another text email. It says, "Jim, BJ and Ranger, so is this what you're saying about things that separate us from grace? It's not that lying causes God's grace to punish you, but it's that the whole reason you lied was because something physical and not even real became that important to you." That's a good interpretation of what we talked about.
Yeah, it is. I mean, God's grace, thank God for him forgiving all of your sins. I mean, it's obvious God knew if it was based on our own merit and what we could do, no one would ever make it to heaven because everybody would mess up too badly. So thank God that Jesus took our sins. He forgave our sins. He forgave all our bad choices. But so as far as grace punishing, no. Grace is there to assist and help. But the whole idea that we're swimming in such deception that has really come down through the years to become more normal in people's eyes is really what contributes to a lack of conviction, a lack of insight and awareness of God's anointing. In fact, I was going to make this comment earlier. You know, you talked about your situation with the bicycle growing up like you did.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of kid thinks like that? Okay, well, people may have all kinds of opinions about your story that you made or that you gave us about the bicycle. Oh, I can't believe he said that. You know, what kid would say this and that? All right, well, here's the point. The point is, forget the story. That way of thinking has really contributed well or actually benefited you very well as far as your spiritual progress.
Yeah, I think if I really had to come up with a solid reason about my accelerating forward progress, because, you know, it just goes faster and faster all the time. I think it's two things. Number one is just that it's my personality. It's not my family's. I mean, it's just my genetic DNA makeup. I have always been antisocial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if I would go to a party, I would just, you know, sit somewhere and watch people, you know, or leave early or come late or, you know, or not go at all. I've never been what you would call social. And I think the other thing that's helped me is the fact that I haven't been exposed to years and years and years of misinformation.
Right.
I mean, I wasn't baptized. I didn't go to Sunday school. I didn't go to any buildings or structures as a kid. I wasn't in any Bible camps. I mean, I literally was void to all of this. And so I didn't have to, I guess for lack of a better word, I wasn't below zero. I had an even break. I started at zero. I didn't have to make up for lost time or the fact that I was miles off the mark. I could just have an open heart and an open mind, and I didn't have to wade through a lot of misinformation like a lot of people do, unfortunately.
Well, and I went back to our page using the word misinformation. And it says misleading and dissembling.
Yeah.
It says a misleading statement is one where there is no outright lie, but still retains the purpose of getting someone to believe in an untruth. Dissembling likewise describes the presentation of facts in a way that is literally true, but intentionally misleading. So what I read that for the purpose of saying there's many of us, even though there's been great things spoken throughout our lives, there's many of us who have lived in the midst of lies for years, and actually most people probably couldn't make a differentiation between what was lie and what wasn't.
When I hear this come out of somebody's mouth, at first I have sadness. It makes me sad. Then I feel sorry for them. And then I have a little bit of rage, anger, because I think, well, they're not the only ones that have been told this.
Mm-hmm.
And they've really been sold it. I mean, they've been sold a bill of goods. And you know what statement that is? I've been healed. I'm just waiting for the manifestation.
Yeah. Or some would say it, I believe I received my healing, but I'm waiting on the manifestation.
It irks me to no end, because it literally says that the guys are not 100% efficient. It literally, there are countless places in the book that are 180 degree opposite message that, how does this even make sense? That wait a minute, you're hurt, you're dying, you're sick, you're broke, you're poor, you're trying to help a loved one, and you're telling me that your prayer has been answered, and you're just going to sit on your thumbs and wait? Where is this all-powerful Christ? Where's this limitless, endless bound of love? Where's this ask and you shall receive? Has no one ever considered that possibly I've been healed and I'm just waiting for the manifestation? How wrong that is? Right. That is a huge, quote-unquote, lie.
Right. Well, actually, the fabrication, you could say that it's extreme pride, because it says, I'm perfect in the way I believe, but I'm waiting on a manifestation, which means God's actually slow getting to it. When if you look at other scriptures that say over in Romans chapter 10, he that believes has everlasting life. That's over in John chapter 5. And to believe is to have something. And so if you think it, if I believe, then I have it. I'm not waiting on it. It's mine right now. And so if you put those two scriptures together, really look at what it's saying. It had to come from someone that was unwilling to admit that they were not accurate. So they spun it to make it sound, and this goes right along with that whole...
This is what we're talking about
tonight. The Wikipedia and all those different types of lies, you'll see that they're spun. Now listen to this as I give you a couple of scriptures in John 14. And let me show you why we're struggling to have vivid reality, vivid words spoken to us, vivid awareness of the Holy Spirit. And here's why. Jesus said in the 15th verse, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." All right, look at what Jesus just said he was going to send us. The Helper. Another name for the Helper is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit who speaks and leads us and guides us into what is reality, what's real. No fabrication, no lie, no hypocrisy, no misleading, no dissembling, no haystack lies, none of those things. The Spirit of God leads you into truth. Now, if you put two and two together, and you can see that in the majority of people, and I mean, this is very telling for myself. It makes me immediately, when we went over this tonight, and we're going over it even right now, it makes me look at some areas of my life and say, you know, you could be more precise there. You just need to call a spade a spade. You're lying about that. You're not being truthful. And if you look at the Holy Spirit of truth, now do you understand why there's a wedge? It's nothing that Jesus didn't come to forgive us for, but we're creating it ourselves.
Once again, before the show, there was an interesting thing when you came in. You sat down and you said, "I have a word." You said, "I have a word that I'd like to talk about tonight."
Right.
And I said, "What's the word?"
Embellish.
And you said, "Embellishment." And I said, "And what did I say?"
Well, you just said that that's a word most people don't use.
I said most people don't use the word embellishment. They don't know how to spell it. It's not in their day-to-day vocabulary.
Right.
It's just not a commonly used word. And I said, plus, it's not accurate as it could be. I says, it's a lie. You want to talk about lies. And then I said, okay, let's talk about lies. Let's say they're all lies. They're not fibs. They're not protecting someone. It's a lie, because the essence of lying, when it comes down to it, is self-gratification, self-protection.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something in it for the liar. And the value of the lie only has value to the person that's spewing this out of their mouth.
Right. And do you remember last week, we actually covered a little bit of this when we talked about the habits and routines, where we actually shared that a person that's a liar doesn't start there.
No.
They begin with one lie, and they see that it actually benefits them to some degree.
Becomes a habit.
And
it
then
works.
They begin to
it
make
works.
It. And we drew the comparison to say, if someone can become a liar, then with very simple spiritual choices, someone can become very aware of God.
You know, there used to be this saying that was real common, but it isn't anymore. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Right.
I don't know where it came about when... there's a lot of times when people ask me questions or they talk to me, and I just kind of look at them or I just walk away. And they say, "Well, you need to answer me." And I go, "You know what? There are a few things that I need to do every day, but answer you is not on the list." And then they say, "Well, I want to know." And I go, "You really want to know?" And then so I'll tell them. And then they'll go, oh, well, that was harsh. And I'll say, well, you just couldn't leave well enough alone. There's a point where when you try to bring truth and facts into your life, there's going to come a time when you're toe-to-toe with reality.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can do this but the individual. No one can hold your hand, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mom or dad, your aunt and uncle. They can't buck you up and say, I got your back with this. There's going to come a time where you have to make a choice to put up or shut up when it comes to just how earnest are you.
Mm-hmm.
How important is a relationship with Christ to you?
Right.
Versus
right.
telling something that you know as it's coming out of your mouth and going in your ears is just total, total fabrication.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this goes hand in hand even with the whole subject of healing, because if a person doesn't love truth and embrace truth and with every fiber of their being strive to be extremely accurate and precise, then when it comes to an individual having some type of a malady or sickness in that person's body, I didn't say in them because they're a spirit, they'll have a very difficult time separating their body with some type of pain or affliction in it and who they are with God in them, where there is no affliction, where Jesus did take the sickness, where it is really gone. See, this is very difficult for folks to step across that line and be precise when it comes to healing, because they really don't regard being precise when it comes to living.
And, you know, when you talk to somebody about being truthful and not to lie, and how even the simplest, most juvenile, infantile piece of misinformation can be a major stumbling block to grace, how are they honestly supposed to comprehend such accountability when there is no other examples of this absolute accountability in the average person's life?
Right.
I mean, what examples do the listeners of your show actually have that they can compare to what we're talking about tonight? They don't.
Right.
That's the point.
Right.
That's the point of believing in a God that you can't see, believing in a God you can't hear, believing in a God that more than likely you've never seen anything really transpire.
Right.
Because in the reality that we live, the world in the flesh, there's nothing tangible to touch. And so talking to everybody about truth and lies and how to apply this to your heart so that God's love can just come flowing into your life like a giant leak in the roof in a rainstorm really has to have some conviction.
Yes.
There has to be commitment that when someone sits at the edge of their bed in the morning, they say, today is today. Now, I'm not saying you go around and point your finger at somebody and say, well, that's a lie, that's BS. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That person just needs to be hit in the head with a shovel. Mind your own business. We're talking about your words.
Sure.
Your credibility.
Your own assessment of yourself.
Because once you have grace, grace will avail those people to you that are lying. Grace will protect you. That's grace's job. But to have grace work for you, you have to first identify yourself.
You know, Jesus said over here in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
So, where is that? Is that in the book?
Yeah, John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, there's no freedom unless you know the truth.
Right.
Truth doesn't set you free on its own. You got to know the truth.
Now, see, that phrase, read that again slowly.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm going to look at the Message Bible too.
Now, when they mean the truth will make you free, what they're saying is you will be free of spirit. You will be uninhibited in your relationship with Christ. That's what that means by you will be free.
Mm-hmm.
You will be free of the perils and trials and tribulations of the flesh. You will be free of the small, insignificant sins. You will be free to be humble. You will be free to repent, which means change directions.
Yeah, the message says it a little bit that way. It says that then you will experience for yourself the truth, and the truth will free you. I like that.
Wow. I was close.
Yep, very close.
All right, I got to say this one. I just found it. A weasel word.
I saw that. Read that. What does it say?
Why didn't you read it if you saw it?
Well, because we couldn't read everything. I'm going to turn to it while you're reading it, too.
Well, can I read it? Because yep. I never get to say anything on the show.
Oh, that's right. Go ahead.
It said, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Boy, that didn't even sound sincere. You know what? I don't want to read it now. You read it.
You said you don't get to say anything on the show. That was a lie.
That wasn't a lie. Why are you whispering? What are you? We're on the radio. You've got a $250 microphone 2 inches from your face. Why do you think you can whisper? You don't think they can hear us when we whisper?
I don't. That's what I was thinking. No, I do. I know they can hear us.
You know,
read your weasel word.
You know, sometimes you are just ridiculous. Tomorrow you're working at the ranch.
Yeah, it'll be ridiculous then too.
I'm working your rear end tomorrow, buddy.
Yeah, okay.
Pack a lunch. You'll need it.
Okay.
And all right, weasel word. A weasel word is an informal term for words and phrases aimed at creating an impression that a specific and or meaningful statement has been made, when in fact only a vague or ambiguous claim has been communicated, enabling the specific meaning to be denied if the statement is challenged. Welcome to organized religion, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
I'm going to read this again. A weasel word is an informal term for words and phrases aimed at creating an impression that a specific and or meaningful statement has been made. It doesn't matter why you're here. We're just glad you're here. But yet, do things our way. When in fact, only a vague or ambiguous claim has been communicated, enabling the specific meaning to be denied if the statement is challenged. So I'm healed, and now I just have to wait for the manifestation? Yes, we're all healed. We're all in God's glory. You just have to be patient. And the one that kills me, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. God would never put anything in your life that you can't handle. Well, that literally is a weasel word statement. Okay, let's break this, because this one's used a lot. Jesus, they made me watch three. I had to watch 3 hours of those schmucks on TV last night. Jesus will help you. Jesus will cure you. Jesus will heal you. And remember, whatever comes into your life, no matter how hard it is, know the trials and tribulations of the world, you will be presented with nothing that you can't handle because of Jesus in your heart. What does that mean? Where is grace?
Right.
Where is God's love? Where's this endless, boundless thing that I was born with? So you're telling me that I'm going to have all kinds of dramas and issues in my life, but disregard it because I wouldn't have anything that I can't handle because Jesus loves me? Hello? What about Jesus dying on the fence post? His blood was supposed to wash all this away.
Right.
And you're telling me, don't worry about it because whatever comes into my life, I can handle? Welcome to the phrase weasel word.
Yeah.
I feel bad for weasels now.
Yeah, I do too. Boy, they've been branded.
They have. You know what? For the sake of the show and the fact that I like animals, I don't think we should call it a weasel word. I think we should call it a building structure word.
Okay.
Building structure phrase. Whatever doesn't...
A religious lie.
A religious... Yeah, I like that. A religious lie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, we got some emails here. Better pay attention to what I'm doing. It says, because you asked... That's... Well, that, obviously, it's probably that, directed to me.
Is that Ed or Tim?
No. This is from Statesville, North Carolina, okay. I believe.
Oh, yeah.
It says, because you asked, our small family farm...
Oh,
goats, pigs, chickens, rabbits, bees, a horse, and a dog named Dolly, who says, hey to Ranger, if we had to depend on our ability to grow stuff, we'd starve, but we keep trying. That's from Tad. Hey, Ranger, say hi to Dolly. Say hi to Dolly. There you go, from one dog to another.
Sure.
Well, they got bees. I looked into bees on the ranch. I thought about getting setting up some beehives, not for the honey, but just to help
pollinate.
Yeah, flowers and plants and stuff. Uh-huh. Because year after year, there's less bees because of people's stupidity with herbicides and pesticides. Yeah, if they just wait a little longer for bees to pollinate things, and then they can spray their fields, bees wouldn't die so much. Some farmers aren't real up to speed on nature. Got another email. It says, I agree with you about the statement about I'm waiting for the manifestation, but people get that from what Jesus said. Okay, better help me out here. It says, people get this from what Jesus said in Mark 11:2-4. It does seem like he places a space of time between believe when you pray and you shall have it. Could you elaborate?
No, that's a misinterpretation.
Says, thanks, David. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Well, I know what it is. I can quote it. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them.
Well, where's there a delay in that?
There's not. That's okay. The whole point. That's a misrepresentation that you think that there's a delay. See, that's a part of years of misinformation and people, their interpretation of that, where they've taken that for years and said, well, it took me 3 weeks to get this.
That's a weasel word. Or, I mean, what was it?
Religious lie.
Weasel word. Let's just go with weasel word.
Okay, weasel word.
I don't think there's many weasels listening.
No.
But that's what that was talking about, that kind of a thing that
right.
that gives you something.
Gives you the impression.
Yes.
You know, I'll share this. Brother Hagin used that scripture, but this is exactly what happened with him. He was going through the scriptures, trying to find what it was. He's on a bed of illness. He's supposed to die. He's paralyzed, got deformed heart, got an incurable blood disease. And he sees that verse of scripture and says, I see it. I've been trying to have my healing before I believe that I have my healing. And so he said, I get it. I believe I received my healing. Now, when he said that, the Holy Spirit said to him, now you believe you're well. He said, that's right, I do. I believe I'm well. The next thing the Holy Spirit said is, well, people ought to be up at 10:30 in the morning. Now, what kind of a waiting on manifestation is there in that?
Right.
It's not. That's the Holy Spirit showing him that to actually believe you have something means get up.
Right.
It's there. You've arrived. Welcome home.
Hey, we got a message from China.
Okay.
It's from Jian. It says, hello from Gian. Miss you guys. Hope I'm not too late emailing the show. BJ,
no.
How's Ranger doing? Give her bone for me. I've been riding horses today. I'm learning how to command them correctly. Glad to know you are all doing good. Be in touch soon with more testimonies. Jim, nice to know you are looking good. Been watching you on your Wednesday night Bible study.
Oh, that's great.
Good message. You are a handsome man. Wow. Be in touch soon, Gian. Okay, well, for those who don't know, Gian's in China, and she's been watching you Wednesday nights. You better tell people what's going on there.
Okay. Wednesday nights is a Bible study that we actually have on our website called What is Reality? And we've been doing it for over a year and a half now, from 7 o'clock Central Standard Time to 8 o'clock. It really does just go that hour because we're in a library that they give us a free room.
The Hardesty Library.
Hardesty Library at 93rd and Memorial here in Tulsa. And they give us an hour, and we have to be out. And there's approximately 40 people that are regulars that come every Wednesday, and we're teaching them the same type of principles you're learning here on the show. It's just that it's me for an hour.
But now it's on Facebook.
And now we've just added it on Facebook, and on my website, there's a link that'll help you to get the live streaming. We're still, I think we're really doing better. You helped there with that suggestion. With the turning the mic off of the recording apparatus and just having the mic on me. And when Todd did that last week, he found out that my microphone was also too hot.
Right.
So it was creating. Yeah. So this week, in fact, you know what would be great? Tell us on the radio show next week if some of you that are listening to the broadcast.
Yeah, you need some feedback. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's please good give idea. Us some feedback because this week should be the best quality show or live streaming that we've had. But thank you very much. Is it Gian?
Gian. G-I-A-N. Gian.
Gian. Thank you very much for listening. That's awesome that you're getting this over there in China. How wonderful.
If you want to say thank you in
Chinese. How do you do that?
Xie xie.
Are you sure?
Yes. Well, what do you mean, am I sure?
Well, I was just making sure you weren't lying. You know, that's the subject tonight.
Hey, I know just enough Chinese.
Oh, Lord.
So that
Here we go. Weasel word.
No, this is true.
It's the haystack.
This is true.
Come on, bring the haystack home.
I know just enough Chinese so that when I go to an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet, I get special service. Because I can say hello, thank you, and fresh, hot, I know a few simple phrases.
Oh, boy.
I do, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when they find out that someone that looks like me has taken the time to learn some Chinese, I get some serious fresh food.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Yeah. See, now that's self-serving, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah. Are you ready to say something to music?
I am. Well, we certainly love our time that we have with you each week, and we trust that tonight's show, even though maybe very telling and very to the point, might be the type of information that would reveal and open up your heart to just ask some of those bigger questions. Am I being precise and accurate with my life? Or is it spinning in circles? And are there lies that I'm literally living in that I don't know? Because to see it is to make the correction, to make the repentance. So, Father, I pray that the eyes of everyone that's listening would just be so flooded with light or just be so open that they could really tell where they're at. And Lord, when we repent and make those corrections, grace is everywhere. And we thank you for that. Amen.
Well, that was pretty good. I like that. All right, so we really hammered home lies tonight.
I think so.
You know, this is the first time we've really
covered that.
Yeah, it was kind of a new topic, new issue. What do you think? Think we got a message across?
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, I think even you and I kind of shared some things maybe even more telling ourselves that we could even at another time maybe share some more of this. Because, you know, it really goes into a person's lifestyle. I mean, after you and I talked, I went outside and I just started talking, you know, to the Lord and just said, wow. I mean, there's definitely some areas of my life that I innocently, in one hand, wouldn't even have thought to have made that connection that, wow, that's just a flat lie.
Yeah.
And how much of that is contributing to me not going farther, faster, and having as much as I want? Well, of course it is. And again, people, please don't ever think that you have to be perfect to experience God. That's why all sins are forgiven. We're just wanting to help people begin to see that the world and the flesh has done this to us. And it's happening right underneath our noses. And to not be aware of it is to literally spin in it and to cause your effectiveness to be very small. And so we want our effectiveness to just hit the mark every time, like pulling a bow and your arrow hits the bullseye. That's what we want. So prayers are answered. We continue to have more of an awareness of God, and we progress constantly at least an acceleration of speed. That's what we want. So it's worth listening to a show like this and hearing this type of topic, even if it hurts a little bit.
My favorite part of the show is always emails and texts, but tonight I really liked when we were both taking turns reading different types of lies and then elaborating and giving examples.
Right.
I thought that was pretty handy.
I think it was good.
We just got a text from somebody that says, BJ, it says, Ni Hao Ma. Ni Hao Ma. That's Nihaoma.
So does that mean...
Well, what it is...
Is that another way for you to get more fresh food?
No, what it is this is a real common mistake. People think that this is Chinese, that Nihaoma is Chinese. It's not. It's a Chinese person, if you said this to them, they would just politely smile and they'd realize that you don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to ask how you are, but a Chinese to a Chinese person, like everyday Chinese language,
right.
They would never say ni hao ma. They would just say ni hao. They wouldn't add the ma to it. Someone just sent that to say, how are you?
Okay.
But obviously they're, you know, a little off. Well, it's not their fault. They just don't, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. That's why I learned foreign languages, is I go up to somebody and I say, I want to learn how you talk to somebody, you know, all the slang, all the little nuances. You know, I don't want to know the proper way. I want to know how people communicate. You know, sitting around a kitchen table, or you're mad at somebody and you're yelling at them in a barn. That's the type of languages that I learned, because that's real, it's authentic, and, you know, it gets you through the door.
Right, right.
Because if you talk prim and... Well, think about it. If someone came up to you and talked perfect English, what would you think? They're from another planet.
Or what are you selling? What do you want?
Yeah, exactly. But if someone comes up and says, hey, how's your day going? What are you doing?
Right.
Well, then you'd say, oh, you know. All right. I thought we had some good emails and some good texts.
I do too.
Really. Remember, folks, tomorrow night, it's only an hour from 7 until 8 o'clock. Central Daylight Savings Time, Central, 8 o'clock, 7 to 8 at the Hardesty Library, or you can check them out on Facebook or go to Jim's ministry website. Want to thank everybody for listening. Hello to all the new people listening. And here it comes. I want you to take care of yourself.
There you
take
go.
Care of your pets. Ranger? What else? Boy, she's pretty good today.
Yes, she is.
And remember, folks, dog spelled backwards is... There you go. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ranger?